The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Let's go!
Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Brady has his fifth. What a comeback.
Watson. Touchdown. Hunter Renfro. Little man makes another enormous play. 1 second remaining.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to the max.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Well, I'm glad we're just starting off the show with weird trade rumors already. But... Anyway, this is the Football to the Max Round 1 NFL Draft 2017 Reaction Show, as the draft just ended about, I want to say, almost an hour ago. And of course, I am your host, and with me here, you just heard him laughing, Mr. Gary Vaughn.
Hey, what's up?
He's just, I'm sure he's trying to find a taco to munch on somewhere.
Delicious.
And we have
and
Mr. Randy.
Thanks for bringing out the dirty part of the show, Sean. Just want to mention that, too.
Well, you know, at least I don't have to be there to smell the gas later. But yeah. Anyway, Mr. Randy Isbell, who I'm sure is delighted with his Jets pick that we'll talk about in a little bit here, but...
Yeah, Jamal Adams dropped in our mock draft, and I skipped on him, and... He dropped in the real draft, and it just jumped all over it, and I could not be happier.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to I'm sure know that your team drafted. I mean, look, there was a ton of great players to draft, and you know we'll get into that in a little bit here. But first of all, I mean, we didn't do the live live draft thing like we did last year, which quite funnily enough. Ravel has now unveiled their mobile app, and they keep sending me emails for like me to test it out or whatever. I was like, well, I'm pretty sure it doesn't work with Skype, so I have no use for it. But, you know, it went by really fast. I felt like they were putting commercials in at the end just to make it last till 11:30. But, yeah.
We had commented about how fast it was going, and then the next thing you knew, four picks were just waiting to be announced. And they're like, no, we have more commercials we have to get to before we finally get to this. It's like, really? Just, you're doing so well.
Right.
Let's go.
It's like, there's no reason this has to end at 11:45, but
yeah.
Whatever.
Make that money. That's what they care about.
At least it's not a... Not like ending at like 12:30 or whatever, like it felt like last time. So that's a positive. One real quick non-football thing. I know you're a big baseball guy, and baseball tonight has been on for like ever. So I'm kind of sad to see it go away. I remember having so many years as a kid just sitting there watching that at like 11 o'clock at night.
Well, I kind of had the feeling it was going with the rumored ESPN cuts, especially because over the last year or two, it seemed like baseball tonight would only get like 15, 20 minutes, depending on how long the game went on a Monday or Wednesday. And other than that, it just would get like lost on an ESPN2 or just not shown at all. So they had kind of went away from baseball tonight. It's... ESPN is basically a football channel at this point. I mean, you have what seems like 2 or 3 hours of football talk every afternoon, even in the off season. So they know where they're getting their money from, and basically what they spent their money on with college football. So they kind of have cut baseball, and they've cut a lot of really good reporters. And if any of them would like to come work for W2Mnet.com, that would be okay. That would be a bit of a pay cut, though.
Yeah, major pay cut, I'm pretty sure they could not afford, but it'd be great if, you know, maybe we'll get them on a freelance thing that could work.
Hey, Ed Warner, we would love to have you.
Yeah.
Mr. Cowboy himself. Let's do it.
Yeah, there you
go. But, I mean, guys, you know, it did not take very long at all for this thing to get interesting. The Browns did their deal taking Myles Garrett, even though there had been rumors flying in during the day that, you know, Randy joked about.
And what did those rumors do? They made Chicago act like fools. That is what those rumors are all about.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. You know, first pick, best player in the draft, Browns went with him. I don't think you can argue too much there. But then, yeah, you're right. The Bears, right after, second pick, they trade it with the 49ers for a third round and fourth rounder this year and another pick next year to pick up Mitchell Trubisky, the first quarterback off the board. I was right about Mitch Trubisky going second, just the wrong team. And, yeah, you just signed Mike Glennon to this big deal. And I guess he's not going to be the future.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to, you know, get Glennon and then get Trubisky as well. I understand maybe they want to, you know, just get a bunch of quarterbacks and see what happens. But you just traded another three picks as well to move up one spot ahead of San Francisco, who wasn't going to take Trubisky. And I don't think anybody else was going to give up enough to jump up to the San Francisco spot. But again, all of the rumors that you heard all day got into the Bears' heads, and they made a stupid move, and they overreacted, in my opinion.
Is that a stupid move, Gary?
You know what? I mean, I get the money situation, and, you know, that is a big deal. But think about this. Trubisky, you're going to be paying him a very low amount of money compared to what Glennon is making. But on the other hand, if Trubisky comes out and plays outstanding, deserves to be the starter, at least you have a guy that you can possibly trade to a team. You know, maybe he's the most expensive backup in the league, but hey, you can trade him to whatever team loses their quarterback. Maybe Big Ben goes down at week three and the Steelers are saying, good God, you know, we're not really wanting to go down like this. Let's get us a quarterback and maybe you make something happen. So that's the only reason I think this is not such a bad thing. Not only that, Trubisky may look great, but he's unproven. We don't know what's going to happen. And Chicago does want to win sometime. I know it may not be soon, but they want to try to be it soon. They want to win this year.
Well, I get that. And I'm not saying the pick of Trubisky is terrible because Mike Glennon is unproven as well. I mean, he had a couple chances in Tampa Bay and looked fine, but not great. So getting Trubisky's fine. It's the trade that makes no sense to me. Because if you want to win now, not only do you need a quarterback, you need everything else. Your team was garbage. You went 3-13 last year. With this trade, Chicago only has 5 draft picks this season. Mm-hmm. 5. How are you going to be a winning team after you went 3-13 and lost Alshon Jeffrey in the offseason with only 5 draft picks?
The only thing I will defend them on with that part of this is the fact that they're trying to go after a guy that maybe they feel fits their system. Maybe
he would have been there.
You possibly. Yeah, you say that, but you just never know who's going to jump ahead of you. We saw several times teams jump ahead of other teams. I mean, the Houston Texans were really honestly thinking they were going to get Mahomes tonight. They did. They were expecting it. They were waiting for it patiently. And then guess what? Stolen away by the Chiefs. And the Chiefs jumped it, you know, made sure they went up there and took care of business.
I don't know that it was a done deal that they wanted Mahomes either, because you have the Clemson connection with Deshaun Watson, and you have a defense where you don't have to throw the ball a million times. He can throw the ball 15, 20 times, hand it off to Lamar Miller. You hide his deficiencies as a you know, a big as a, he's not the guy with the strongest arm or whatever. I saw a lot of people talking about, well, this is just another Alex Smith going to the Texans. But the Texans are built to have a Alex Smith, if you want to throw that comparison out there. I don't think he is. I think he's better than that. But, you know, I honestly think maybe the I think the picks went the right way, honestly, if we're going to jump ahead and talk about the three quarterbacks here. So the Chiefs trade the the Bills? They traded with the Bills at 10 to take Patrick Mahomes, and then you get the Texans trading with the Browns at 12 to go and get Deshaun Watson. And Mahomes, for me personally, I think Mahomes works well in that he is the absolute opposite of Alex Smith, in that if you groom this guy well, okay, and he works out, if you feel like, look, I think we really need a change of direction here with this dinky and dunky offense, and we need to really do something crazy, you got Patrick Mahomes there to go in a different direction, whether it's this season, towards the end of this season, or next season, or whatever. And then I just outlaid Deshaun Watson there. You know, Trubisky is going to be a little bit different because he might be the one that is in a position where he could start when we get to, you know, week one. It could be another Carson Wentz situation where you go, well, he's definitely not starting, but you get to game one and you go, you know what? Maybe we just throw him out there. But what do you guys think? Is there any chance that, obviously, you know, injuries are injuries, right? But is there any chance you think either one of the three start week one?
Yeah, I do think Deshaun Watson's going to start for Houston. I think that is their plan, and that's why they moved up to get him.
They did say Tom Savage starter week one.
Well, that's what they're going to say right now until they get any kind of a competition. So out of the three, he has the best chance. I'm still not set on Trubisky. I guess maybe he does have the best chance. I mean, you give up that much for him, you kind of feel the pressure to do so. I like Glennon, but again, I understand why you wouldn't have the most confidence in him. And honestly, I know that Kansas City gave up a lot as far as, you know, they gave up the third round this year and they gave up a first round next year, but they also moved up, what, 17 spots to sure up that they were going to get the quarterback of the future that they thought was right. And I have less problem with that than what Chicago did, just for the fact of how far up they knew they were going to have to move. They knew that 12 spot was the key quarterback position, whether it was Cleveland or if somebody traded for that Cleveland spot, they knew a quarterback was going there. So they looked up ahead of it and found somebody that was willing to make a trade, and they got their quarterback of the future. And the thing with Mahomes is he is the exact opposite of Alex Smith. He has a cannon of an arm, but we'll see how accurate he is. Well, Alex Smith liked to dink and dunk, but he was pretty accurate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, once again, I mean, you guys make some great points about these quarterbacks, but Trubisky is the guy that really feels like the most well-rounded and probably ready to start day one. I think that's what Chicago was thinking. They probably could have got him. You're right. They probably could have got him and not really had a problem. I think they were just fearful, and I think they got a little antsy and made a move, and I'm supposing they probably feel pretty good about themselves tonight. But, you know, I think sometimes you got to take those risks in the draft because you just never know who's going to hop in front of you. You know, Cleveland had tons of draft picks to give away. I mean, they still have quite a few to give away.
My goodness.
And they could have done whatever they wanted. Wherever they wanted to pick in the draft, they could have had it. And so I think Chicago looked at that and says, man, they're setting themselves up. They could technically have this pick. Let's go ahead and make that trade and do what we got to do to make sure we get our quarterback. And maybe it's to their demise. Maybe we'll be talking about this years later and saying, man, that was the best thing they ever did.
Speaking of Cleveland, can I just say that I think Cleveland just owns the Texans?
Do what we want. But you know, I don't know, the Texans gave them a I don't know. You're right. They kind of do own them, right?
They have done two trades this offseason, and they dominated both. The fact that Cleveland has both of their number one and number two second round picks next season. And what'd they give up? They still went down and got Jabril Peppers in that pick, which I thought was a great pick for Cleveland. And, you know, they can wait on a quarterback. They added more spots and – or who is – excuse me. I keep forgetting Cleveland actually had three picks. Who was their one that they got? They got a – oh, yeah, it was Peppers. It was the tight end that they got with the third one. But still, they got huge needs. And now you're looking at two first-rounders and two – or they have three second-rounders, I believe, next year, all just building up so they can go to New England or Washington and go, look at all these draft picks. We will give you them if you give us a quarterback. They are building a team. I loved it. I was watching the NFL Network broadcast, and I forget which analyst said it, but I loved it. It was the Seattle Seahawks way of thinking, and why the Seahawks did so well is you build the whole team through the draft, and then you find a cheap quarterback and you just drop them in the middle. A good, cheap quarterback. So then you can keep paying all of those other players as they improve because you have this other quarterback that you have on the cheap for a long time. So whether they get him in the draft next year or they give up some of those picks to get a Garoppolo, they have the foundation now to be the next Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean that's really true. Are we talking? We're talking about the Browns here.
Yes.
You know. Yeah, I really like those picks. Quite honestly, especially the coming back up and the pick number 29 and getting Njoku. I think now you've got Barnage. Man, sorry, the keyboard is loud, but
my bad.
It's okay. It just threw me off. Mine does that. I'll sit here and do this, and I'll be like, wait, I'm trying to type not fast, and it's doing anyway. But honestly, like being able to if they can get him to block, which that's a problem. And he's only like, what, he hasn't even turned 20 yet? So you teach him with Gary Barnage there, and then you get double tight end sets. You have, whoever they wind up, if they get a quarterback in the draft. Because I think you've only got two more that I think you'd really want to consider saying, okay, we're really going to prime this guy for being our number one. Even if it is Cody Kessler, give him more weapons, because if you give him more outlets to throw the ball to, less chance of him getting sacked and having troubles, I think moving forward now from the Browns, and another team that did some trading here, the 49ers, we already mentioned the trading to number three to get Mr. Solomon. And then he goes in, they come in later and get a terrific pick at Reuben Foster, possibly the steal of the draft. In my view, a guy that, yeah, he's got some shoulder problems right now, both of his shoulders, and that's why he dropped so much, but he turns out to be really good. Talk about, you got a terrific D lineman and Solomon Thomas, and then you got Reuben Foster for your first two picks.
Yeah, and you know what's kind of funny is I really did love the analogy and the thought process the guys on the network, the NFL Network had about this, because John Lynch, being the GM over there, he kind of, honestly, in a way, kind of is trying to rebuild the team he had with Tampa Bay, maybe getting his own version of Warren Sapp and getting his own Derek Brooks. And I like that thought process that they got there. And, You know, maybe he is doing that. These two picks are definitely solid pieces that they can put in this year, depending on how Reuben Foster, you know, gets healthy and makes sure that they got him ready to play a long career. This could be, you know, a pivotal moment in building that defense back to where it was. Because, you know, it didn't feel like too long ago when San Francisco's defense was pretty scary. And maybe they're going to try to get back to that pretty soon here.
Yeah, I definitely liked both of the moves that San Francisco made. The fact that you got three extra picks for getting the guy that you were going to get in the first place in Solomon Thomas, I think was a smart move by them. And then you can take that risk because you have those extra picks to play with to move up the three spots and make sure, you know, you take the risk on somebody who, as you said, could be the steal of this draft. I mean, we had him in the top 10 of our mock. The injury concerns obviously are something to worry about, but again, you have those extra draft picks to mess around with to take that risk.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, like I said, he pans out. It's a risk well worth taking. I think, you know, when you got big injuries like that coming out of college, it's always something that you got to be worried about because sometimes you're not the same player after that. And, hey, look, the 49ers, I think in the end, they don't lose too much either way, right? With the first one getting picks, and then, you lose one to trade up three spots to get Foster if he doesn't work out so much. You know, you'll be fine, but I think right now you're hoping that it all, and if both of these guys are immediate, like they can start the first week, and I think you can count on them if you're 49ers. And this is alphabetical order. So yeah, and you still got Aaron Lynch there. So you know, you got two bookend defensive ends now. You have a guy that could possibly be your guy you're counting on at linebacker. So 49ers, well done for both those. Like, if you have to pick one, what do you think about? Is it either the 49ers getting the win for this draft, or is it the Browns for you? Not the draft, at least round one.
I got to give it to Cleveland. I agree with somebody in our chat that said they get the win because they didn't screw it up like we were waiting for them to do. I like them moving down from the 12th spot and getting even more ammunition as far as draft picks, getting another first-round pick next year, and still getting Jabril Peppers, who I think is another steal of this draft. I mean, I know he had the diluted sample and stuff we had to worry about there, but he is so dynamic on the defensive end, and you can use him on the offense as well. And then I like the tight end pick, so I give Cleveland the best draft in round one.
Yeah, it's hard to deny that. It really, really is. And I look at this as a situation that, you know, people, you know, are kind of trying to evaluate, like, how can we get to this? How can we draft, you know, and make these kind of wheeling and dealing trades to get to this point like Cleveland? And that means losing a lot of games, to be honest with you, and that's not a good deal for you, really. But at the same point, at least we're seeing Cleveland make some right decisions. And honestly, they, you know, could be considered taking risks because, you know, Peppers is an exciting guy. But you've had a lot of people talk about, you know, is he as great as we think he is? What position does he really fill? Is he actually a linebacker? Is he a safety? Is he a corner? What the heck does this guy do? We just know he's an excellent athlete. But I think with Cleveland, a team that has that opportunity to take those risks, right? They're the one team that he can fit in and pretty much feel comfortable because a lot of other teams would try to make him be strict. I think this team is going to give him that opportunity to find out what's best for him, along with adding so many other great pieces around him.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. I think both of these teams did smart smart plays, as we already outlined here. And I think you can't go wrong with what they decided to do here in the first round. Let's see if they can keep capitalizing on it in round two when we get to that on Saturday on Friday night. So moving on to some other storylines here, you got three receivers going pretty early. I mean, we had one of them going this early, but I don't think we had the others going as early as they did. So that's another big deal here. You have, of course, Corey Davis going instead of Mike Williams at 5. Mike Williams then going to the Chargers at 7. And then John Ross, 2 picks later, going to the Redskins. Or not Redskins, I'm sorry, to the Bengals. I'm looking at his school instead of the the team. But I don't think you can argue that these were picks that were needed for both all three of these. And then, you know, you mentioned Jamal Adams, Christian McCaffrey. I nailed the Christian McCaffrey pick, so that's cool for me, going to the Panthers. I think you can make a case for all four of these teams picking what they needed and making dynamic decisions and saying, okay, Titans have had problems with receivers. Let's get one that we think for sure is a for sure thing. Chargers, same thing. Keenan Allen's great when he can stay healthy, which has been his problem. Christian McCaffrey gives the Panthers so much, just gives Cam Newton an ability to not only give him the ball, but also, you know, he can pass it to him in the flat, all those kind of things. And then John Ross, which is just a speedy dude from Washington, gives the Bengals a receiver, and they needed receivers after the losing so many guys in the past year. So,
yeah, we had all three wide receivers going, you know, in the first round. We did not expect them to go that early. I felt like a couple of them were reaches. I don't think that the Bengals needed to get John Ross with the 9th pick. I think they could have waited. I think they got a little worried that Williams and Davis went so early. So they went ahead and reached there. But it was because of, you know, those three wide receivers going so early, with maybe a little bit of reaching going on, it allowed those teams in the middle of this draft to just get steals. Jonathan Allen going to Washington in the 17th pick. So many great defensive players dropped because we had a weird wide receiver frenzy there in the first 10 picks.
Yeah, Malik Hooker, Gary, going to the Colts there. Derek Barnett going to the Eagles. Hassan Reddick and the Cardinals, which you were right about, Derek Barnett, by the way. And, Marshawn Lattimore goes to the Saints. So many, like what Randy said, just those teams get some big needs filled and pick of the litter pretty much there. Even Marlon Humphrey, who's a guy we didn't even pick, went to the Ravens.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He was one of those guys that I think a lot of people liked. When you're talking about Humphrey, I really thought he was going to fall even further. But I think the reason they like this guy so much is because of his length, the ability that he has to just be a very well-rounded corner. He's not just a close cover guy. He can back away. He can do everything he needs to do at that position. So I think that's something I think a lot of people missed. And, you know, really, I think in the Ravens situation, they kind of coveted that opportunity to get a corner like that. You know, and I look at some of these other guys you just got through talking about. I mean, my goodness, Washington and Philadelphia both, I mean, just added to their depth on the defensive line, which is great for them, especially Washington. I mean, they were really looking for that guy to kind of compliment Kerrigan. Now they got him. And especially when you face an offensive line like Dallas twice a year, that's a big deal. You know, all they need to do is add a few more pieces, and they'll definitely be a huge problem for the Cowboys. That's one of their biggest competitors anyway. So I think this is very interesting to see how those defenders fell right into the laps of some of these teams that really honestly did not see that coming. I'm pretty sure, you know, if you would have told those teams, hey, you know, you're going to have some of the top defensive linemen fall your way, they'd buy that all day.
Yeah, and I honestly would not be surprised at the end of the day, with just because, you know, for me, the Eagles have much better talent, obviously. So Derek Barnett has a chance to immediately just be this huge presence for them. He could have a much better year than Myles Garrett, who is going to have to pull a lot more weight in Cleveland. on his own, where Derek Barnett can be part of a defense that's already pretty damn good, and then just be that guy that pulls in and gets the sacks, you know, and is a disruptive force for the Eagles. And we already know the Eagles who they have over there. So he's going to learn from some great talent. He's only going to get better. So I really love that move. And Hassan Reddick could be absolutely awesome for the Cardinals too. Another team that has some tremendous players that he can learn from. And, you know, it's going to be a somebody that can grow there and just get better as time goes on for the Cardinals and be one of those linchpins for them. So, you know, I know Marshawn Lattimore, a guy you had picked for the Jets in the mock. What do you think about him going to the Saints? Obviously, they needed that.
Yeah, absolutely needed it. I love that pick for them. Again, I had passed on Jamal Adams in our mock, and then as we were going, I nearly wanted to change it. I felt like we let him drop far too far. I never thought he was even going to get down to the Jets, so it would have been interesting to see who the Jets would have went for if Adams was gone. But again, with Adams going to the Jets and some of these offensive weapons going in the top 10, that allowed, you know, New Orleans to get a steal in themselves here with Lattimore and help that defense that they desperately needed. And I thought their last pick in the first round with Ryan Ramczyk, you know, the offensive lineman, was also perfect because your best player is Drew Brees, so why not protect him?
Oh, yeah. That was I thought they would go D lineman order, but by the time they got to 32, a lot of the big ones had been taken, and they go with the next best thing is to go and make sure that Drew Brees has a guy that he can count on to give him some protection there, like you said. And Saints, another winner there for in contention for first round as far as the two players that they picked. Tremendous pick with the corner and can't go wrong with the offensive tackle. One of the sure things, honestly, in this draft was Ryan Ramczyk. So, you know, great job by the Saints there. And Adoree Jackson going to the Titans, I thought he'd go a little bit lower. So, you know, you also get a punt returner there, kick returner, a guy that can just make plays. So that's a good pick for the Titans. And O.J. Howard finally goes off the board for the Bucks. Talk about double tight end sets there with Cameron Brate. Man, the Bucks, Mike Evans, if Doug Martin can stay healthy, and, you know, the other kind of group of receivers that they got, you know, Vincent Jackson still, that's an offense we got to watch out for.
Yeah, I agree. And I was surprised he dropped so far. It did happen that three tight ends do go in the first round, but not until the 19th pick. I saw a lot of mocks right near the end that had O.J. Howard going to the Jets even. So it was surprising he dropped that far, but I think he's very happy where he landed. It's a young offense other than Vincent Jackson and Doug Martin. They're both kind of getting up there, but young quarterback Mike Evans is young. The defense is decent enough, and they can continue to improve that. So he's got to be extremely happy. And how about Evan Engram, who both you and I went, wow, that was a little bit of a reach by the Giants until we realized how fast he was and how perfect that fit is with the Giants and how sick that offense is looking. More, I said it going into last year, I thought their offense was going to be sick, and they struggled a bit, and now they added even more weapons.
You know, there's a pretty huge Giants fan. Now, we didn't get the Giants fan that's been on the podcast before. You know, Brandon didn't really comment. But there is a big Giants fan in the, you know, Last Word on Sports that, you know, sometimes I post the podcast on there, and I write there at times. He's the guy sort of in charge of the NFL department, and he was like, God, there was like five guys I would have picked right in front of him. And I don't know, I kind of have to agree, they needed, you got the offensive tackles you could have picked. Cam Robinson didn't even go in the first round, and that's somebody that we had already chosen. You could have, you had Ramczyk there, you had Forrest Lamp who didn't go either. You had, I don't know, they already had a nice group of receivers, and he's basically another receiver. He's not really a tight end because he can't really block. So I don't know that that's – I mean, look, I get – and he's not – I don't think you could argue he's best player on the board either at that point. So it's like, can you call it a reach? I think this is probably one of the reaches of the first round. I get it. 4-4, whatever. You can't teach speed. But, look, Eli Manning obviously needs protection. The dude's not getting any younger, and he's not getting any better with that arm. I think he's going to suffer the same thing like his brother. His arm's going to start deteriorating. And I don't know.
Sean, I'm disappointed in you. You do a wrestling podcast, and you just talked about how you couldn't teach something, and you didn't say it correctly.
Oh, man.
Come on, man. But no, I think it's a bit of a reach, and I get it. They have needs
He's
elsewhere.
Not 7 feet tall, though.
No. It would be dangerous if he was 7 feet tall. I don't think you could play in the NFL if you're 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
You're just not built that way. But I get it. More needs are needed for the Giants. But I like what they're thinking. You know, your Cowboys have certain strengths and weaknesses. The weaknesses right now as a secondary is you've lost a few. It's not the worst secondary in the league, but it's not great. So why not attack that right now? So they know Eli is running out of years, so they're going to give him as many options as possible and just try to outscore you. And I'm okay with that decision. If you know that it's going to take a while to rebuild that defense, then why not just throw everything at the offense while you still have a quarterback who a lot of people are going to make fun of? And yes, he throws a lot of interceptions and he makes some really dumb decisions. He is a 2-time Super Bowl champion.
Can't argue with that. And you can't teach being a Super Bowl champion either. So
yeah, very true. Yeah.
I mean, Gary, you watch the Giants just more often than some other people that maybe don't sit there and watch NFC East every week. Did you think that, like, look, I know I had already picked Dalvin Cook for the Redskins. He didn't go there. I don't have a problem necessarily with what the Redskins did, because if Jonathan Allen falls to you, I think you got to take him there. But the one thing that the Redskins now look, their running back by committee thing has sort of worked. And you can make the case that Jennings has gotten a little bit better, and Orleans Darkwall is okay, but I don't know, man. Go get you, I can't remember the guy's name from Tennessee right now, or Dalvin Cook. You might have much more of a sure thing as far as getting a position that the Giants could really use to diversify their offense instead of just passing it everywhere, like, you know, at running back.
No, and I understand that, and I agree. You know, I think what the Giants are looking at here, and from my perspective, I kind of agree with you to an extent, because you've got an exciting, excellent player in Dalvin Cook who you could just go and scoop up, and already your offense is so well-balanced, it's sick, and your passing game is taken care of. Even without adding that tight end, if you add the running back in Dalvin Cook, I mean, you are set. Here's the thing I think that they were really considering here was the fact that they were kind of courting LeGarrette Blount. They're thinking about the fact that they can shore up some of the running back situation by doing that. So they really don't have to do it through the draft immediately. If they can get somebody else to add to their passing game, which is primarily what they do, right? They're not really much of a running game anyway kind of team. And their offensive line really isn't built to support a running game. They're going to have to add pieces. They're going to have to do more. And I think, really, even looking at this year's draft, they look at the offensive tackles in this draft, they're not really that great. They're okay, but almost every tackle that is even in the top, like Ramchek and all these other guys, are guys you're going to have to work on. They're not day one starters that are going to protect your quarterback to the fullest extent. So I think that's where the Giants were looking and saying, look, we'll do our best once again to get to the season. And, you know, we're almost made the playoffs last year without a big running game. We'll probably do it again. And we got so much more talent in the passing game. It's going to be hard to stop us. But I do think that Dalvin Cook would have been a great option for them. But I get where they're coming from and not picking him.
Fair enough. I don't know. I mean, I hope it works out for him, right? But mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think that you go too much too far in one area. And, hey, look, maybe Rashad Jennings just keeps getting better. And you can make the case, obviously, that if you have so many weapons that you have to put so much into the offense or into the passing game, it does leave holes open for mm-hmm. a Jennings or anybody else.
And I do like the rumors that have been swirling around the Giants that they might get LeGarrette Blount after the draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also another possibility. It's just like, why would the Patriots want to get rid of him? He's been so huge for them.
Well, because he has done too much and now wants money. And they moved on. Yeah. They don't want to pay people. If your name's not Tom Brady, you don't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
So, I mean, and they got Gillislee now, and Gillislee is pretty much going to be the same position, younger, though. So
he's not the big bruising back, though. So
no, but, you know, honestly, this team and the Patriots don't need the big bruising back. He just happened to be a guy that helped him. Not only that, the Patriots can go sign D'Angelo Williams or somebody like that if they want. He's pull him out of the wrestling game, have him, you know, and back in football.
I think certainly... speaking of big bruising backs, the one guy we haven't talked about because it was a guy we nailed in the mock, and I think everybody and their mother nailed, of Leonard Fournette going to the Jaguars. Obvious, this guy is probably starting, and he's going to change their offense now. If Blake Bortles can figure out how to throw the ball again, which apparently he was injured the whole season, didn't tell anybody. And that's why he was playing that way. You have a guy now that if he can stay healthy, immediate dividends, and now watch out for the Allens again.
Listen, I like to pick, and I like Fournette as long as he can stay healthy. I jumped on board of the Jaguars too heavy last year, so I am doing my best not to be too optimistic. So I think it's a great pick, but we have to wait and see, because I thought the Jaguars were going to be great last year, and they fell on their faces.
That's true. I think all of us had a little bit of knowing that this was supposed to be the sexy team, and they did not. They completely disappointed on that end. And you're hoping for better things this year, just because time is ticking on that team as it's constructed. And knowing that... you know, Mr. Moreau, and especially now you got an offensive guru in there. You got to think that this is just going to be a better outfit coming into next season. And you got Tom Coughlin there that's going to be barking at people, if not, I mm-hmm. guess. So,
yeah.
The Lions take Gerard Davis, one pick away from possibly going to staying at home and going to Miami. Charles Harris goes to Miami instead, which I don't think you could have gone wrong with either one of those two, honestly. And then the interesting one, which there was a bunch of Raiders fans in that same last word chat that I was talking about because of the whole Gary and Conley thing with the rape allegations going on, of course, from Ohio State. Conley came out really quick and denied it and was all, you know, he had a story to go with it and everything that made sense. He even took a lie detector, apparently, that was administered by the Ravens, of all teams. They don't take him. They take Marlon Humphrey. Conley falls all the way to the Raiders, but they don't take Gary's choice or Randy's choice of Kevin King, who's from the area. Kevin King doesn't even go in the first round. That's interesting, certainly.
Yeah, we'll talk about Kevin King here at the end of this podcast, I'm sure. But I think, listen, the Raiders definitely had to have done their homework. And I agree with one of the analysts on NFL Network again. Listen, if Connolly is guilty of what he is accused of, I am sickened that he got drafted. If he did not do it at all, I am so glad that, you know, he still went in the first round. It is still way too early to know anything, and it made it really difficult for him. There's a good chance that somebody was just trying to smear him right before the biggest day of his life. And so hopefully all of the homework has been done and it's proven that he didn't do anything and the fact that he didn't. So I'm hopeful that him getting drafted means that he did not do what he was accused of. And a great cornerback went to a great team in Oakland. But it's a really sketchy situation, and you just hope that Oakland was correct in what they found out.
Yeah, I agreed. And, you know, and here's the thing, too, is, you know, all these teams had to make that decision and to take that risk. And I think there's always those teams who are saying, no matter what, we're not taking a guy with a controversial background. And it was up to, you know, the Raiders to really kind of go with the lie detector test and say, you know what, we trust it. We trust him because of his attitude towards this whole situation. We're going to go with it. I mean, you never know. Maybe teams would have picked him up earlier in this draft if it would have been Dr. Phil administering the lie detector test. But it wasn't Dr. Phil.
What the hell? Hold on. What does Dr. Phil have to do with?
He does a great job. He has an FBI guy. He has an FBI guy who does the Dr. Phil show that does all the administering the test. But anyway.
The only reason Dr. Phil's even on TV is that stupid catch me outside loser.
I love that. It's terrible. Anyway, it's awful. But anyway, I'm just joking around. But no, seriously, I mean, you really look at this, and I think the Raiders decided just to take the risk because they said there's a great talent that someone else is going to get. Why not let us get him here? I mean, there's no sense in letting him fall any further. We can take this chance. And they did. And more power to him. I don't know, you know, if I can say one way or the other because I was not there. And I also don't know what really happened. But I think I'm leaning more towards the fact that I think the Oakland Raiders got a pretty awesome deal here.
I mean, yeah, they would have got an awesome deal, I think, regardless of who they picked there in the same position. There's so much great talent there. But, I think obviously they did their homework. You don't take somebody in the first round if you didn't. I know it is the Raiders and, Al Davis' son is still the guy there, but they've done such a great job of sort of shedding that we're going to do crazy stuff image and make the right decisions that you kind of have to trust them here. And yeah, I've had some points when it first happened, it's kind of like, oh my God, did Al Davis walk out of the grave and make this pick or something? Like, just, you know, you have to wonder sometimes, but yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. It's going to be one of those that I think just like, kind of like Reuben Foster, it's going to be looked at and you go, man, 3 or 4 years down the line, how did this pick turn out? And then you go examine and go, man, they had so many other choices. Did they make the right one? Let's see. But I think right now, you're thinking that they did what they're supposed to do. I really like the Dolphins taking Charles Harris, though. He's one of the guys. I love seeing this stat that apparently since 2009, there has been a defensive lineman taken from Missouri in every draft in the first round. So, you know, that school already has the pedigree of coming up with a great lineman, a great linebackers, and Charles Harris continues to join that crew. Now, the Browns, they, of course, traded with the Texans. They got that Jabril Peppers. And I thought of it like, you know, hey, the Browns got holes on that defense, so now Jabril Peppers can just cover each one, and they don't have to draft so many guys. So he covers all five positions or whatever. But honestly, no, he's a great, dynamic guy, very much like Myles Garrett, somebody you can build the defense around. And I don't think you can totally hate this pick. It's just I saw people just saying, oh, man, I don't know. I think I kind of wanted somebody else. But what did you guys think when you saw is this the right one, or did they need to go for a more sure, this is what his position is, take him? Oh, silence is deafening here. But
no, I mean, I think that, you know, the situation that, you know, they kind of found themselves in is, you know, they could have found him more shorthanded. But I think that once again, I think that these teams have a mindset going in, and they see things that we don't. I think a lot of times we kind of typecast these players in a certain way and kind of go by what everybody on ESPN, you know, NFL Network, and all these analysts, we kind of listen to them, what they have to say. But, you know, when you're talking about a coaching staff and the way they do things, there's a reason they pick these guys. And there's got to be maybe, you know, some part of his game that they really like, you know, and they really feel comfortable with. So I think that's why you get some of these choices, even though I know a lot of other people don't agree with them. So I understand.
Yeah, there's always something about, you know, meeting the players and seeing how they work with your staff that will move somebody up or down a draft board. So there's always something that even the best experts just will never know, because, you know, you're not in the heads of these decision makers, and they get to see a little bit more than anybody else gets to see.
Oh, yeah, certainly. That's the thing. Sometimes we get a little bit too overconfident in our opinions, and everybody does it, right? You think you know what they should do, and at the end of the day, they make the decision. Now, granted, right, they don't all make the best decisions. So that's why you got to question them. But I don't think this is a totally wrong one. Sometimes you want to say, all right, let's get to one guy that we know what his position is. He's going to be there. We can plug him in. But hey, Jalen Ramsey showed last year for the Jaguars. He got better as the year went on. Jabril Peppers has the opportunity to do that as well. And he can also play in the return game, which the Browns need any kind of dynamic guy they can get. And Peppers fits that mold. The Falcons traded up with the Seahawks to get Tack McKinley, which I know the, you know, Gary wanted to go to the Cowboys. Oh, so close. And then the Bills, Tre'Davious White. This is the trade they got from the Chiefs. Great pick there. I think obviously the Bills needed to replace Stephon Gilmore. And so they got a really solid corner they can plug in there. And the Cowboys wound up taking the man with the name Taco. You can't go wrong there. Taco Charlton, not the fastest guy, but I think he's going to come in and be a terrific D lineman, and he's much more durable than, say, you know, Randy Gregory, who's not playing because he can't stop smoking weed, and the other, you know, and DeMarcus Lawrence, who also has injuries issues. So, Gary, I mean, they let almost the whole secondary walk, but at least they can maybe rush the passer this year.
Yeah, and this is a situation where I really thought to myself, okay, so who's left in the defensive backfield they could have got? And, you know, there's a couple of guys they still could have added on to this team. But guys like Adoree Jackson that left, honestly, a lot earlier than any of us expect, I think. Kind of threw the Cowboys for a loop in a way they decided to go the different route. When a guy like Taco Charlton falls to you, you kind of feel like, hey, I mean, you've got to take a quality talent. So very happy about that. I think maybe the Falcons were really nervous about the fact that the Cowboys were looking to attack McKinley. I think they kind of thought, you know, we've got to jump ahead of him. We've got to take this guy. This is a guy that's going to help us. I think they're still sore from last year's loss in the Super Bowl. I think they really thought to themselves, we needed more pass rush and talent. If we would have had it, we would have won the Super Bowl. So they did what they had to do to get the best guy available, and that was who it was. And Taco Charlton falling to the Cowboys is not bad. I think the Cowboys will do fine with him. Is he, you know, overly, you know, amazing? I wouldn't say that, but, you know, let's be honest, that defense loves to play with guys that they consider blue chip guys, the guys that, that are considered underdogs, right? So I think that's what they're pretty happy with their pick. But, you know, I'm a little bit nervous, but that's just the fan inside me.
I was so waiting for the Cowboys pick Reuben Foster, just because that's the type of, you know, Jerry likes those, oh my God, let me turn this guy that people think has a problem into a great player, you know. And they didn't do that, but I don't have a problem with this pick at all. I wanted him to kind of go. I thought they would go defensive backfield. Kevin King is still there. There's probably a couple of other guys I can't think of right now that are still there. You could have went and got. But they go with the D lineman that falls to him, and it's fine, you know. Cowboys may make a pick they needed still. Randy did not get his pick of Deshaun Kizer to the Steelers. Instead, they do a, you know, tremendous tribute to Dan Rooney, their longtime owner, with Franco Harris and Jerome Bettis, very touching. Being there in Philly, of course, the other team in Pennsylvania, they got a little bit of reaction, but you still had the Philly fans doing what they do, right? Just booing. And T.J. Watt goes to the Steelers, which seems like a very Steelers pick. Make sure you get the linebacker. You know, you lose Lawrence Timmons, go ahead and put somebody there. And they get to play each other. Christmas night, Houston, Pittsburgh, the Watt brothers are going, not on the same side of the field. They're playing on the same side of the field, so they won't get to play each other against each other, but still cool to get to see that. And, of course, we talked about the other two picks after him. So, I mean, you like the T.J. Watt pick instead, Randy?
Yeah, it's fine. Kizer, for me, was a wild card, and I think it would have been an interesting pick for them. But T.J. Watt fits a need, and as you said, that's a very Pittsburgh thing to do. But now it makes me question, you know, how early do they have all this draft stuff going? Because we had the schedule come out last week, and they put Houston and Pittsburgh Christmas night. Did they know that Pittsburgh was going to end up with T.J. Watt so they could have that storyline? bit of a conspiracy theory going on.
Well, you never know, right? You never know what the NFL knows. Robert Taylor, who writes for us on the Game Zone on W10Net.com, he is a Chiefs fan. He is making a bold prediction that Pat Mahomes will get turned into Aaron Rodgers by Andy Reid. Watch out. What do you think? Too bold? He was getting comparisons to him.
That's the goal, is you pick him up now and then start him in 2-3 years. You know, you're fine with Alex Smith. He is getting older, but he is doing a nice job. You're making the playoffs with Smith. So let him get groomed underneath him. You have such an amazing talent, so let him get groomed by somebody with the likes of Alex Smith, who, listen, has he had the best career? No. Does he have the best physical traits? No, but he's a pretty darn good quarterback. He makes the right decisions. That is the type of guy that you want to be teaching Mahomes. So I can't disagree with that.
What do you think, Gary? Too bold? Or he says maybe McNabb 2.0, a little bit more sensible?
No, you know what? It's never, you know, a bad thing to go after a player that you really feel could be your future. Not only that, a guy that you kind of think has the opportunity to learn under your veteran who's about to leave. I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, let's look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They got a solid defense. I mean, for the most part, their offense has some, you know, great potential still this year. They didn't lose too much, I don't think, in the offseason. So I think that they thought we might as well go for the future now. Why wait around until it's too late? Let's go ahead and get a guy that can be taught, educated, until we actually need him. And hey, there you go. I mean, not a bad decision if you are in the shoes of Andy Reid and a guy who loves to really get under there and really tweak the quarterback until he's ready.
Yeah, you're right about that. He certainly, you know, thought of as that quarterback guru. So if there's somebody you want to put there and say, okay, draft a guy, you know, an offense that is not thought of as being a great quarterback producer, the air raid offense, and then make him into something, I'd pick Andy Reid as one of those guys. So, you know, mm-hmm. let's see what happens. Certainly got time for that. But, you know, that's the end of us breaking down round one. We've obviously got two more rounds on Saturday, which, speaking of, Robert Taylor is saying that he may. He wanted to be on tonight, but apparently he had something he's doing, so he's listening live. But he may. I told him if he can commit to being there and watching the round two and three, maybe we can do a round two and three reaction show. I don't know yet. But I know Gary and Randy have things to do, so it might see me and Robert, but at least it's out there, possible. But anyway, let's talk about round two and three a little bit. You know, Packers, they trade out. Seahawks, they trade out. Now already talk going around. You guys didn't hear the joke that Gary was saying about the Packers already getting trade offers for Deshaun Kizer, Davis Webb from California, who we did not even talk about when we were doing the mock at all. I forgot about him, actually, but Davis Webb could be something, you know, he could even be taken ahead of Kizer, honestly. I know we watched a lot of California last year. He was pretty damn good every time I saw him. But do you see that happening? Like, who do you think are those teams? I think definitely Arizona's one that might be looking at one of those two. Randy, what do you think? Who could trade? Do you think the Packers are going to be gone, or?
That's possible. At least maybe either them or Seattle could definitely bump down. I'm just kind of looking at who is close enough where they wouldn't have to move that far. I like your idea of Arizona. That's a 12-spot jump. I don't think that would cost them too much to get the quarterback that they would desire to be the heir apparent to Carson Palmer. Minnesota, maybe. You know, they've already said that they are not going to pick up Teddy Bridgewater's option. Sam Bradford hasn't worked that great there, so maybe they could get somebody like that. Somebody in the middle of the second round I could see move up. I don't see anybody that's like, we're desperate for a quarterback at this moment, moving up to get a starter out of the, you know, whether it's Kizer or anybody else. So I would believe anybody that's moving up to get one of those quarterbacks should be somebody that is looking in the same role that Kansas City was doing.
You think maybe the Browns finally pull a trigger on one of them?
No, because I'm still under the belief that the Browns are trying to set up to get as much ammunition to coax the Patriots or the Redskins out of their quarterback.
Yeah, there was a rumor going around that it was going to be Watson for, Cousins. That did not happen. So that's still a possibility. I think Cousins might be a bigger possibility than Garoppolo, as it looks like the Patriots are just going to sit on him because they really believe he's going to be the next guy after Brady. I mean, look, Brady can say he's going to play till he's 45, but all it takes is one wrong hit and he's not playing till then. So you got to be ready. I mean, could that trade? Could you see that trade happening at all, or do you think it's more of a, like we were talking about, just next year you pick him up?
Yeah, I still think that for the 49ers, they're waiting till next year, unless the price goes down. I'm sure Washington is asking for way more than the 49ers want to give up.
I'd say the Browns have the picks, though.
No, I agree. But unfortunately for the Browns, and the thing that works against them with Cousins is right now it would be a one-year option. So if you're going to make that trade between Cleveland and Washington for Cousins, you already have to have talked to Cousins to make sure that he's going to sign a long-term deal with you.
True.
So it just adds a little bit of complications to that deal. I would love it. You guys know me. I have a lot of praise for Kirk Cousins. I think he's a great quarterback. So him being the face of the Cleveland Browns, who are trying this new approach at the game, I think he would be the perfect fit there. But you have to make sure that he's going to stick with you and not run off to Shanahan over there in San Francisco.
What do you think, Gary?
I mean, I think that Kirk Cousins would, you know, definitely be a great addition. I mean, I don't have any qualms with that at all. You know, I would be more surprised about that, though, only because of the fact that, you know, Cleveland has the money to pay him. So that's the best deal here. But I know the 49ers want him so badly. So I'd be interested in seeing that, you know, war. But well, let's be honest, San Francisco doesn't have the firepower that Cleveland does. So it's probably going to happen that way if it does happen. But I mean, it's really, really interesting to see this toll take place. And it's kind of funny how this just really started sparking up right on draft day. You know, we haven't heard a ton about it until now, and I'm sure maybe some behind the scenes talk, but until they got down to the moment of all the fire and the heat's on, we finally get this. And I'm really kind of curious if it's going to shake down. I think Cleveland immediately becomes that much more better with a quarterback like Kirk Cousins compared to having any of the other guys they have. So it'd be a great step.
So let's play predictor here with – I'm going to only do four because the Patriots, I think they do have a pick in the third round, but I'm not going that far. And it's they're Super Bowl champions – I don't know that we really need to assess what they need at this minute, but for the other four teams that didn't get the pick in the first round, Green Bay and Seattle, who right now are 1-2 in round two, you have the Rams, who are fifth in round two, and you have the Vikings, who are way down at 48, pick 48 in round two. What do you think are their big needs? Let's say they stay where they are. They don't do the trade, which obviously Packers, Seahawks, you could definitely see it happening. Rams got to pick somebody. What do you think? Who's around that you go, man, definitely need to pick him?
Well, I'll just start with the Packers as they are the first pick, and a name like a Kevin King or Quincy Wilson jumps out. Their secondary is atrocious. So I think that just jumps off the page. Or I joked with you, Sean, while we were watching the draft, you'd brought up Dalvin Cook a few times. He would fit perfect with Green Bay. So I think they have a lot of options, which just adds to the fact that they still might trade down.
Yeah, Seahawks, I think, could also be in the running for the Quincy Wilson, Kevin King. They are still heavy, yeah, heavy rumors of Richard Sherman being moved before, yeah, the season starts. There's still a long time before then. You get the right guy or a guy that you think can sort of fill that spot, and you let Richard Sherman go for, you know, some good compensation there. I don't think that's totally out of the question. Obviously, offensive line is another one, and you got Forrest Lamp there too.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, Gary. What do you think about this? If there isn't a trade before tomorrow, and the Packers and the Seahawks do go 1-2, would you see anything other than a Kevin King going to Green Bay and then a Forrest Lamp going to Seattle?
It would be hard not to, because, you know, both those teams need those exact positions. And, you know, I look especially at Seattle. Lamp would do so much to add to that team. They really need that balance on the offensive line. And once again, I mentioned the offensive lineman this year. Lamp's not perfect, but he's definitely an addition that will at least get them to what, you know, they need to be, and that's better. Right now, they just don't have that talent. So Lamp would be a day one addition that would give them a bolster that they would desperately need. And I look at the Packers. They are always dealing with that situation we've talked about plenty of times, where injuries to the secondary have always cut them short. And adding a guy like, you know, this talent definitely would bolster them too. So I think if no trades happen, I would definitely see that taking place that way. But you know, I still think that there's probably going to be some trades. It would not shock me, but that would – I think you're right on key right there.
Yeah, I could definitely see a Kamara or Dalvin Cook, though, going to the Packers. You can't sit there and tell me you're going to run 88 – I can't think of his name right now.
Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, you're going to run Ty Montgomery – all in the next year or two?
Absolutely. They don't run the ball in Green Bay. They are allergic to the run.
To be fair, they did try to run Eddie Lacy. He just kept getting injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they realized at that point, yeah, we don't need to run. We're fine. Their secondary is the reason why they did not succeed last year, not the fact that they never ran the ball.
Yeah, true. Their secondary is a big reason why, but you know, I still think that having a balanced offense is there's something to that. Even the freaking Patriots showed it that when they needed to, if you need to be able to run the ball, you need to be able to run the ball. And it's important. And they have that. They have a freaking tremendous line. I just think you need to take advantage of that if I'm the Packers. So, the Rams, I mean, they need help in a lot of places. So, yes.
Take your pick. Honestly, best player available. That's just at that point, and there's a lot of great players still there. I don't think we are going to nail down. Okay,
I think
just be
other than
player.
Running back, because I think you know, obviously Todd Gurley is great.
I would
you just got to, like, other than running back, I think, and obviously you're going to be giving Jared Goff another shot. But yeah, you could use another receiver because none of those receivers that you got last year were all that great. Farrah Cooper could be decent, but everybody else is kind of like whatever. And I think they did okay with the tight end, but either you're looking at offensive line, receiver, or probably what you need more is shoring up some of that defense that was also they were the strong part of the team, obviously, but you still got some holes there. Gary, what do you think? Would you go offense or defense for the Rams?
I would have to go defense. And it's just simply put that, you know, they've got some great defensive talent, but I think that they could definitely add more. And if you can find even some of these safeties that are still out there to add, because they desperately need a safety, they really need to add to that depth. And that's the direction I would go. Now, I get it. You know, you could add some offensive power, really try to work in some, you know, things in that direction. But, I mean, I think if the Rams aren't good on defense, then they really don't have that. They don't have the opportunity they've had in the recent past. They've really depended on their defense to kind of get them through each year. And, you know, talent has kind of slowly dwindled there, and they've got to rebuild that and get back to where they were. And they still got the rest of this draft to get better on offense, you know, so.
No, certainly, and I think for the Vikings it's pretty easy. Offensive line, I don't know that Cam Robinson drops that far, but or Forrest Lamb for that matter. Don't know who's around at that point, but my God, if there was a team that they felt like a Band-Aid was being stretched across constantly for the Vikings last year, you need to figure something out. At that own line, and they were signing people off the street. They had so many injuries, and I'd watch out for another running back, possibly because, you know, just because they have Latavius Murray doesn't mean that they're going to just keep one. They could possibly want to go for a two-back system there, and there's plenty of running backs in this draft that are pretty good.
I heard that the Vikings were looking to get a witch doctor in the second round to try to fix their injury problems.
Hey, not a bad idea, you know. Oh, man. Yeah, that's the deal. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised also to see maybe the Vikings trying to find a way to even steal away some of these better offensive linemen that are still out there because they desperately need them. It's just like Seattle. Both those teams are really looking forward to having better offensive lines, hopefully. But if they don't do those actions to get them and just trust free agency or someone letting someone go, they're going to be in the same position they were last year. So I really would consider the fact that maybe the Vikings would think about maybe trading up to get some of these guys.
Yeah, they do have 2/3 and 2/4, so they could part with one of those possibly to make it happen. So, but yeah, I think we've done a pretty good job here, gentlemen, at breaking down what happened in round one. Not going to give you any kind of confirmation on a possible round two, round three reaction show quite yet. Because, again, I'm off work, but, you know, I'm counting on one guy here, and he may run into something to do. But yeah. I will tell you that Monday, we will be talking about rounds 2-7, kind of giving you a wrap up of the draft, or not Monday, or Tuesday morning technically. And then on our Friday morning show, we'll be giving our team grades to let you know how all the teams did. and giving grades out for their entire drafts and everything else. So might want to stick with us for the next week here if we don't do any more draft coverage right after they end. But if you liked what you heard, which hopefully you did, you can hit that subscribe button on Football to the Max. You can find us pretty easy there. Or you can subscribe to the whole shebang, WTM Network, and get, you know, our wrestling show, the video games podcast. You get so many entertainment podcasts, and they have some great stuff on there. Seriously, the Rodlitch and Broadcasting guys have a plethora of different things you can listen to if you just like, you know, your movies or anything, music, whatever. They got that covered. So even some AFL coverage here. So if you like the Arena League, you can check that out. But then soccer too.
Yeah, I'm glad you made sure you told which AFL, which is not the best AFL, but
right. I mean, because you can get the NAL too, I guess.
No. The other AFL, the good AFL, Aussie Rules Football, sir.
Oh, certainly. We need to get a Aussie. I mean, there is two of you that like the Aussie Rules. Maybe y'all can hook up for an Aussie Rules.
I missed America my window. My Hawthorne Hawks have turned into the New York Jets, so it's been a rough season so far. That's okay.
I'm sorry about that, but. Yeah, guys, I mean, it's going to be interesting these next 2 to 7 rounds, what happens. But I think after round one, I'm kind of excited. How do you guys feel about the rest of this?
I'm so stoked that the Jets didn't mess up the first. I've already kind of planned out who I want the next two picks to be. And, you know, fingers crossed on those two. So they got through the first round okay.
What do you think, Gary? You
this is, you know, going to be.
Yeah, well, what do you think about the Cowboys going forward?
I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be really exciting. I miss what said. I was talking and you were talking at the same time.
Oh, we're starting to have the Skype being terrible problem.
What
do you think about the Cowboys going forward here?
I know. I'm really interested to see what they do. You know, we keep talking about trades. They may need to trade up to somewhere to get their that they want or a safety that they want. I mean, they may do like what they are, you know, usually doing and trying to figure out a way just to stay put. I think we're going to be looking for secondary help now. I don't think they're going to be going after any more defensive linemen for sure.
Probably not. I mean, there's always that chance that they do, but we'll have to watch and learn. Well, so until next time that we see you, hope you give us a review on iTunes or something, or just listen. That's all that matters. So, see you later, everybody.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.